The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's game time. Join Anthony Herron for the Game Plan. We'll discuss the top stories of the week in the world of sports and entertainment. And really, whatever else Big Ant feels like talking about. Now, here's your host, Anthony Herron. Get down, get
down. What's up, America? Better part of the next hour, I am your voice. You are tuned into the Game Plan. With Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant, coming to you live from the Mission Design Studios. It's actually the 10th show. Been on the air for 10 weeks now here with the Game Plan. And I don't feel like it's gotten, you know, gotten steadily better throughout the process here. Got some more, you know, listener involvement, getting more emails and feedback and whatnot, so we certainly appreciate that, getting more phone calls in. So certainly appreciate the love we've gotten from everybody about the efforts so far on the show. Just to set up the show real quick, I'm going to talk some NFL because we're getting into the thick of things here. And Bill Belichick, of course, made some news over the weekends on Sunday Night Football playing against the Colts. I'm sure you've heard how that game ended, and he's caught a lot of flack for that. And actually with me, my wife is from New England, so my in-laws are all big Patriots fans. And actually, it's funny because my in-laws are actually also big Notre Dame fans. And Charlie Weiss ended up losing that game to Pitt over the weekend. And so there's a lot of scrutiny about whether or not Weiss is going to get to keep his job at Notre Dame. And I've talked to a lot of Irish fans that I'm not related to, just to get their take on what the situation is with the Notre Dame coaching situation. A lot of names being bandied about for that gig. So going to talk some Patriots, going to talk some Notre Dame. Going to talk some more broader perspective on the NFL because I got into some of my divisional picks last week, and I basically just got through the AFC because we got several phone calls and tried to get through a few emails, and I'm just dealing with an hour here, but I try to pack as much as I can into this hour. So I'm going to get through my NFC picks before the end of the show as well because I hate to leave things unfinished. I want to go ahead and put these out there into the, you know, whatever, this isn't cyberspace. Well, I guess, you know what? Since we're on the internet, people are hearing me online all over the world on Voice America World Talk. I guess this is cyberspace, so you know what? Yeah, I'm putting it out there in cyberspace and whatever other space folks want to claim they're listening on as well. But get the NFC picks out there and a few of my mid-season awards for Player of the Year on offense and defense, possible comeback Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, all that stuff, a couple of personal awards that I also made up for a couple of individuals and teams too. But the phone line, because we're going to have one segment where we talk some fantasy football in the third segment of the show, but phone lines are going to be open other than that, so feel free to call in at 888-346-9144. That number is 888-346-9144, or you can also email me at the Quaker Homes inbox. That's bigantnow@live.com, bigantnow@live.com. If you want to get in, get your takes out there. I know a lot of the folks listen at work, so I understand if you can't call in, but feel free to email, even hit me up on my Facebook page. There's a link to it on the show here from the Voice America Sports website where you can link to my Facebook page as well. I'm all over the place. I'm a media blitz out here. Get a couple of little current events in. I was on the sidelines this past weekend for the Penn State game at Indiana at Penn State. The Hoosiers going into the game, they had 4 wins, needed 2 more victories with 2 weeks to go to have a possibility of being bowl eligible. So they went to Beaver Stadium, took on Penn State, Nittany Lions. It was senior day for them. A lot of the great players that they've had there over the years are seniors, guys like Darrell Clark, who's, in my opinion, he's been, you know, overall start to finish, has been the best quarterback in the Big Ten. Sean Lee, very talented linebacker, up for a lot of major awards, but has dealt with a lot of injuries the last couple of years. Jared Odrick, who was the best defensive tackle in the Big Ten, to me, bar none. And if he had a little bit more help surrounding him, he'd even be putting up more gaudy numbers than what he is. Offensive lineman. So, seeing your dad Penn State, big deal. The game ended up starting out very surprisingly where Indiana just jumped all over him early. The Hoosiers were out 10-0, had an opportunity to be up even more than that, but they couldn't finish a couple of red zone drives. And to get to watch it from the field level and to get to be there in the midst of the two sidelines, that's really the great thing to me about being a sideline reporter, because I've talked to you guys about it. I get to do both. I spend the majority of the time in the booth, but that was my third game I've been on the sidelines this year as well. I'm not a guy that likes to stand up very much. My back gets tight. My knees swell up a little bit. So being on my feet is not my favorite thing, but in the midst of that atmosphere, especially out there at Beaver Stadium, senior day, about 108,000 people out there, and it's a great stadium if you haven't seen it. Just the setup, you stand in the midst of it and you look at it, it doesn't look like a place that's got 108,000 people in it. They can hold upwards of 110, but nice place to watch a college football game, and just in the midst of that atmosphere, to get to go from sideline to sideline, and some schools are a lot more particular about where they let the sideline reporters go. At Penn State, they really didn't have the kind of the get-back coach, so I was just working my way just right up into the thick of the sidelines. I'm almost listening to the play call a couple of times, just right there in the midst of the play, and I'd get a weird glance every once in a while, but really I mainly just made sure I stayed just out of sight of Joe Pa. Whenever he started kind of strolling back in my direction, I just, take a couple of steps back just to have a little bit of a distance, because he's got, the giant glasses that you've all seen him wear. So as long as I'm out of that periphery, and I'm pretty sure he's got cataracts, just looking at his eyes up close. So as long as I'm out of his periphery, I think I'm okay. But working up there on the Penn State sidelines, it's great as a sideline reporter to get to watch what's happening in the game from that angle and to get to see it up close like that. So a lot of fun. Penn State ends up coming back in the game. They defeat the Hoosiers. Now they're mathematically still in contention for a Big Ten championship. Actually, there are several teams that are. Iowa, even though they lost over the weekend, Iowa's got two losses in the conference. Penn State's got two. Wisconsin has two losses. Of course, Ohio State, by defeating Iowa over the weekend, they've assured themselves with their one conference loss of nothing less than a share of the Big Ten championship. But since they've beat all three of the other teams that are in contention, they beat Iowa, they beat Penn State, and early in the season they beat Wisconsin. So they have the head-to-head against all three other teams that could possibly share the crown. So with that being the tiebreaker, it's now known. The Ohio State Buckeyes are going to be the Big Ten Conference representative in the Rose Bowl. Everybody's really confident they're not going to – there's really no scenario that could likely play out where they're going to make the national championship game. So Ohio State goes into what many people feel like is the biggest game of the regular season for them every year, facing Michigan this weekend with absolutely nothing on the line. I'll be really interested to see how Jim Tressel handles that, because it's normally a game where there's some kind of Big Ten championship implications that play into it. Technically, there still are this year, where maybe Ohio State would share the title if they lost the game, and they'll win it outright if they win the game. But they're locked and loaded. They know exactly what's going to happen for the bowl picture for the Buckeyes. So as far as how they show up, how they face Michigan, really looking forward to seeing how they handle that. The Iowa game I referenced over the weekend, where the Hawkeyes go into Columbus, they go to the Horseshoe, they have their freshman quarterback, James Vandenberg, taking the team out onto the field against one of the best defenses in college football. His performance the week before left a lot to be desired, and everyone's wondering, what are they going to do? Should they put Marvin McNutt in the lineup at quarterback? Can this kid get it done? Hats off to James Vandenberg. He played admirably. And really, when it comes down to it, it really came down to some defensive stops that the Hawkeyes really needed to make as far as trying to finish off that Ohio State game. But you go into the fourth quarter, and there was a point early in the fourth quarter where they were down 24-10, and everyone's just ready to write them off. But then DJ K, Darrell Johnson-Koulianos, he runs a kickback, and then Vandenberg takes him down the field, gets a touchdown pass, the second touchdown pass to Marvin McNutt back in the corner of the end zone. McNutt made an excellent catch on it. Really, you know, hats off to the University of Iowa. They went out there, and it seems to me that they've actually even earned probably as much respect in this loss because of the fact that Ricky Stanzi was not in the lineup for him as they have in many of their victories throughout the season, and they beat some quality opponents. But on the same note, hats off to the Ohio State Buckeyes. They earned it. They did it on the field, and really, you know, they didn't show up because Ricky Stanzi wasn't in the game, because I was down to their fourth-string running back and that type of thing. They didn't come out there and just, you know, roll the jockstrap on the field and say, we think we can handle this team. To me, that was one of the better performances Ohio State has had this year. They ran the ball very effectively against what's been a good run defense from Iowa. Terrell Pryor spread the ball around. He was efficient with it. No big turnovers. So that was one of Ohio State's better performances, and they need it on that stage. They needed it to seal up a Big Ten championship, their fifth consecutive Big Ten title. So I don't care what conference it is. I don't care if people say the Big Ten's down or whatever. When you can win a major conference 5 years in a row, you certainly deserve all the accolades that come with it. It's not going to get them in the national championship game this year because of the fact that they have two losses. They lost to USC early in the season, lost to Purdue a few weeks ago, and everyone started to actually write them off at that point. But getting to be up close and personal with it, seeing them actually doing the New Mexico State game shortly after the Purdue game, getting to follow that program closely, I'm telling you, they didn't miss a beat. They were upset by the Purdue game, but they didn't lose any confidence as that process went forward. So hats off to Ohio State for clinching another Big Ten title. This is actually, speaking of the end of the season, this will be the last week of a couple of the other things I'm involved in with the Big Ten Network. This will be the last game this weekend. I'm going to be calling the game up in the booth, the Purdue at Indiana game, matchup for the Old Oaken Bucket. I'll be the color commentator for that game. And also, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, is going to be the last edition of Big Ten Sights and Sounds. So I'll you know, plug those a little bit more later in the show as well, but I wanted to make sure I at least mention that early on, that this would be the last, you know, kind of widespread activity that I'll have with the Big Ten Network this year, because the Big Ten Conference season is coming to an end after this week. There's going to be one more game later on. Wisconsin's still going to play Hawaii. And who else is going to be? Actually, a little bit under the weather here myself. I think I got the swine cold or something like that. Not sure what it is I've got here. But there's going to be one other game with Fresno State. Is also going to play Illinois. So two non-conference games remaining in the Big Ten. But, yeah, I just wanted to get that little plug in real quick. We got our first break coming up here. When I come back, going to talk some NFL, going to make some NFC picks. Also going to tell you my Player of the Year votes. And then in the third segment, we're going to get back into some fantasy football as well. So stay tuned right here. You're listening to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Is there truly a lesson in every situation? Can you learn from another person's experiences, or are lessons learned when they only happen to you? Dave Felzer, number one national and number one international best-selling author, challenges listeners to stand tall, to be accountable no matter what the setbacks, and to recommit to enhancing their lives as well as assisting others around them. Listen to The Dave Felzer Show every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Radio Network.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Mouyeh and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Get down, get down. Here we sit at Tuesday, November 17th, heading into the last weekend of conference play in the Big Ten Conference. I'm telling you, it's come too fast. It's weird just to think that September 5th was the opening weekend in college football. Seems like you got all these weeks ahead of you. You know, several months of football remaining at that point, and now sitting at the last week of regular season play, at least for the Big Ten Conference. You know, a couple of the other conferences, they go ahead and extend their season out a little bit longer, and then you'll get the conference title games in there in December at some point. So they keep going, but just to think about it, kind of weird because it seems like it's all happened so fast. But certainly enjoyed the run so far, and the game plan's not going anywhere. That's gonna continue. We're going to get football talk going and get more extensively into NFL talk as the college season comes to a close as well. But like I said, this segment, I got to finish up some of the NFL talk that I had going last week. So I hate to leave things unfinished, which is what I did last week. I gave y'all my AFC picks, which, you know, a lot of them are still shaping up okay. One of them might have a little question mark next to it at this point, but just to recap, I had for the AFC East, New England Patriots were in first place at that point. Still there right now. That was my pick. They're 6-3 right now at this point in the season, 2-game lead. I think they're going to finish it off there. AFC North, Bengals and the Steelers were tied record-wise going into the game this past weekend. Of course, the Bengals won that game, pushing their record to 7-2. Pittsburgh Steelers right now at 6-3. You know what? That's the one that I think would have a little bit of a question mark to it now, because the Bengals are 2-0 against the Steelers this season, also the same way against the Ravens, so I don't think the Ravens are going to be able to make it back in the hunt anyway. But it's just a week later, so there's no way I'm changing my pick just a week later after I made it and put it out there on the airwaves. So right now I'm still saying Pittsburgh Steelers are going to find a way to come back and get it done. But I do think both teams will make the playoffs in the AFC North, the Steelers and the Bengals. AFC South, Indianapolis Colts sitting 9-0. That's an easy one. We'll move on from there. AFC West, Denver Broncos still leading right now, but tied record-wise with the San Diego Chargers, both teams at 6-3. I think the Chargers, especially with the direction the Broncos are headed in right now, I'm really liking that pick. San Diego Chargers going to end up winning the AFC West. Well, let's get over to the NFC since I didn't get to them last week. New York Giants had a bye over the weekend, and really, that's probably a good thing for them to get a bye at that point in the season, about the midway point, because both the Cowboys and the Eagles lost over the weekend and came back to the pack a bit to where the Giants sit. Right now, Dallas Cowboys sitting in first place at 6-3, Philadelphia Eagles in second place right now, 5-4 overall record, and the Giants also sitting at 5-4. I think as the stretch run gets going, it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the team that comes out with the division title in the NFC East. But depending on how long Brian Westbrook is out, you know, that could certainly affect things as they sit in that picture right now. But between McCoy and a couple of the other backup running backs they had a rookie that came in the lineup a couple of weeks ago, did some big things aside from McCoy. But I think the Eagles are going to be the team that comes out of the NFC East It's going to be between the Giants and the Cowboys who's going to be the second team that's able to work their way in there. If I had to choose right now, I would say the Cowboys are going to be one of the wild cards in the NFC, and it may be the New York Giants that are on the outside looking in, unless, as has happened before, unless you get two teams coming out of the NFC East. When you go over to the NFC North, the division title, while it's not mathematically locked up yet, but Minnesota right now has a 3-game lead on the Green Bay Packers, and they've defeated them twice. So it's really the same as having a 4-game lead right now, 9 games into the season. It's really going to be a tough order for Green Bay to try to catch Minnesota at this point in the year. And also, when you look at the Chicago Bears sitting at 4-5, and they're just getting worse and worse with all the interceptions that Jay Cutler's throwing and, you know, some of his other weapons not really getting the football in the way they were earlier in the season. Not really looking like the Bears are going to have hardly any shot at trying to catch up with Minnesota. So divisional title, you might as well just give them the trophy right now, Minnesota. But interested to watch the Packers at this point in the season, if they can get a run going, because they were so inconsistent through the first half of the season. They're one of the teams that I do the Lexi updates on that I've told you guys about. You can go to www.lexi.com, put my name in the search, Anthony Heron, find my Lexi updates that I do on the Lions, the Packers, big-ass big game of the week, Big Ten Conference update, all that. But I get to watch the Packers pretty closely because of the Lexi updates I do on them. And really, people underestimate the abilities they have defensively. But what they do schematically and the effort that their players put on the field, which, you know, apparently a lot of guys were sick and some other guys were tired from the way that they practiced, and Mike McCarthy even came out and apologized to the team, basically saying that he had practiced them too hard going into the Tampa Bay game, which, you know, would probably explain why they looked so lethargic, because it, to me, it just seemed like, just getting to watch it, that they just weren't putting the same kind of effort out there. But this past weekend looked like a completely different football team, and it showed with the way they played and the way they were able to pull away in the second half of that ball game. So I think the Packers are going to be really interesting to watch as the second half of the season plays out. Going down to the NFC South, New Orleans Saints, of course led by Drew Brees and all the different weapons that he's got offensively, the defense. Not really as underrated now as they used to be, because there's been several games now in the midpoint of the season where Drew Brees hasn't put up those same kinds of numbers as what he was putting up early in the season. And they're not scoring 40 and 50 points every game out, but they're still finding ways to win. And when you can do that as a football team, and all those weapons are still in place, they're not a team that's coming up with a bunch of injuries and guys being out of the lineup and everything. Their weapons are intact. Sometimes they've got that A game, sometimes they don't, but just like the Colts, they're sitting at 9-0. So no matter what else you think about the other positions on the team, how the weapons perform, consistent or not, New Orleans Saints, 9 wins, 0 losses, hands down favorite right now, NFC South, 4-game lead over the Atlanta Falcons, sitting at 5-4. Going down to the NFC West, Arizona Cardinals, only a 2-game lead right now in that division over San Francisco. And really, I like the Niners a lot early in the season, but they don't have that championship pedigree yet that the Cardinals have shown. And even though, you know, the Cardinals have always been that inconsistent team, the talent is there in place. It's intact. Kurt Warner, especially the last few weeks, has got his game going pretty good. Bolden is back healthy. Beanie Wells is finally starting to, you know, show some more of that potential that people really felt like he had. So I think it's going to be the Cardinals coming out of there. I don't see a wild card getting out of the NFC West, though. So I think the wild card in the NFC is either going to come out of the NFC East, which I think at least definitely one of them will be, or maybe even two out of the NFC East, with Green Bay being the other team that's really got a shot at earning that wild card berth in the postseason. Told you I was going to mention a couple of awards that I think guys should and will get. When you look at the postseason awards for some of the players themselves, Offensive Player of the Year, I think especially it even adds to it. I mean, I had this guy as the Offensive Player of the Year last week. When you look at the way he finished the game the other night, Sunday Night Football against the New England Patriots, makes perfect sense. Peyton Manning probably will get his 4th MVP if he can anywhere near the performance that he's put up lately. If he can continue that or even anything close to it, Peyton Manning's going to be your Offensive Player of the Year. Defensively, looking at Jared Allen, you know, right now 10.5 sacks on the season, I believe just a half sack or maybe a full sack behind Elmas Dumervil from Denver, the league leader in sacks right now. But beyond the sacks, the attention that they have to pay to him, I mean, that whole Minnesota defensive front is impressive. impressive, especially the Williams boys inside, the two tackles. They bring the linebackers occasionally, you know, between Chad Greenway and E.J. Henderson, the other linebacker out of Maryland. They've got a lot of guys in that front seven and sometimes front eight on defense that get it done. But Jared Allen is the one that you consistently see him coming up with the big plays, not only the sacks, but the strips, the tackles for loss, even, you know, an interception, touchdowns he's had on the year, and the stage that they've done it on with everyone paying attention to Brett Favre. When you make plays like that and everyone's looking, I think that's going to end up being your defensive player of the year. If not him, look out for Darren Sharper. He's old. You know, I got to Green Bay in 2001, and he was already old at that point, but he's still getting it done at the safety position. Darren Sharper, they call him Shake. That's why he does that little celebration every time you see him make a play. He'll just wait, go get off by himself, and then just do his little shoulder shimmy. I think Shake, Darren Sharper, would be a guy that with a possibility of Jared Allen's production would fall off in the second half of the season here. Watch out for Sharper with the interception numbers he's putting up and getting in the end zone on top of it. With the team success the Saints have had, he could possibly be another guy. Comeback player of the year, I got an interesting pick here. With Vince Young being in the lineup in Tennessee last week, this time he's sitting at 2-0. Now he's sitting at 3-0. For the first time he threw for over 200 yards as a passer. You know, did throw the one interception, but, you know, he's incrementally increased his performance week by week. And, of course, they got Chris Johnson, the running back. They lean on him heavily on offense, as they should, in the running and in the passing game. But with the level Vince Young performs at, if this team can continue to win and, you know, maybe even be a dark horse candidate for a possible wild card run, who knows? Because they're starting to now look like the team we saw last season. I think part of the thing they did was they leaned a little bit too heavy at times on Kerry Collins because they felt like, you know, with the veteran guy in there as a quarterback, we can throw the ball around quite a bit. And it just wasn't working. That's not the quarterback Kerry Collins needs to be at this point in his career. So I think comeback player of the year, good possibility is Vince Young. Coach of the year, going to come down to either Marvin Lewis or Jim Caldwell. I think it's going to be Marvin Lewis, especially now after being undefeated in the division against both the Ravens and the Steelers. They're sitting pretty right now in Cincinnati, and it's largely because of what Marvin Lewis has been able to do. Watch out there now for the Tennessee Titans. That's my one other little award I'm giving out. The Watch Out There Now award goes to the Titans. They're the team I said can make a second-half run. And also the Shaka Khan Feel For You award, I got to give it to Steven Jackson in St. Louis because the Rams are horrible. But now, with everyone knowing they can't do anything but run the football, Steven Jackson finds a way to gain yards. He's gotten into the end zone for the last couple of weeks. One of the more talented individuals in the NFL who still plays hard on one of the worst teams in the league, on statistically the worst offense in the league, he still gains his yards week in and week out. So I feel for you, Steven Jackson, but keep doing your thing. Well, we're going to come back in this next segment. We got another break coming up here, and then we're going to come back and talk some fantasy football. Guess who's in first place in the Pride Glory Fantasy Football League? That would be yours truly. So we're going to have Breezy the Bully, a.k.a. the Commish, to talk some fantasy football, and with just two regular season weeks left for fantasy football leagues, give you a little playoff preview of what we can expect moving forward. So we'll be right back from this third break and this second break and get into our third segment here on The Game Plan with Anthony Herron. Be right back.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's out.
Tough shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for The Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to The Game Plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
you're thinking of starting a business or are already in business, tune in as the Kitchen Table Entrepreneur addresses business ownership concerns. Business novice or not, let the Kitchen Table Entrepreneur help you each week as we present and discuss the meat and potato issues of starting and running a business. Join the discussion. There's always room for your thoughts and opinions. The Kitchen Table Entrepreneur is a valuable program you should be tuning into every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
That's right, let's get back into it. This game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Been a few weeks since we had our guest on the line here, the man himself, Breezy the Bully, a.k.a. the Commish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And running the Pride and Glory Fantasy Football League. Good to have you back on the line, Commish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is a true pleasure and honor, Big Ant. How you feeling, man?
No, honestly, you know, you want, like, the politically correct answer? You want to just breeze through it? You want to
Man. Bullies in the building, man. I want the definite honest, uncut answer, man.
Well, okay, since it's just me and you sitting here talking to him, man, I'm sick now for the second time in like 2 months, and I'm not sick bad, but just sick enough. Maybe it's just the rapid changing in the weather. Where yesterday it was 70 degrees out down here in Alabama, now it's like 50 degrees or so, and you know I'm on the road, I'm up north, and it's one temperature. I'm down here, I'm on the airplane so much, I'm all congested. I just don't got the same kind of energy, the kind of gumption that I normally like to try to bring to the show here. But I'm toughing it out, man. You know, I'm sucking it up. I'm getting through it. I'm enjoying myself. Just don't have the same zest that I normally would.
Okay, yeah.
I hope that answers your question.
Understand that, man. Sir, what has been your take or your perspective thus far on your first inaugural fantasy football season?
You know what? I've been a little bit disappointed in myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have, because I really expected to go undefeated and beat everybody. And I have two losses at this point. So right now, sitting at 8-2 is my overall record. Got a couple of losses. One of them was really an inexcusable loss to a horrible team. Which opponent it was right now. But my first loss of the season was basically just an oversight on my part. Didn't make the kind of roster moves I really needed to make. The other loss was against a good team. But I don't know, just overall I was really expecting to go 12-0 and beat everybody by 50 or 60 points, especially once we finished the draft and I looked at my roster, I looked at everybody else, and I said, there's maybe one other good team out here. One team has really got a shot to get me. So I haven't been too far off, because there's been one team that I really respected that beat me, and there's another loss that I just kind of blame myself for.
Right.
Overall, it hasn't been too far below my standards, but I set a high standard for
myself. Right,
I
right, of course. So what you're basically saying is that you were lucky.
Oh, is that what I'm saying?
Pretty much. I'm just asking, man.
We've had the beginner's luck talk, you know, a couple of other segments that we've been on here. That at some point, I'm wondering when does it just kick in where there was just some overall football knowledge that took over and allowed me to dominate this league. I've worked my way back into first place. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I mean, you know, honestly, dominant is a very, very strong word. You know, I wouldn't necessarily use that word. I would say more like fortunate, lucky, you know, one of those words. But that's just me, though.
Everybody has a right to their own opinion. You don't want to call it dominance? That's fine. I can accept that.
Absolutely. And as you were saying,
I'd go with excellence, if not dominance, maybe excellence.
I wouldn't say that either. Now, as you were saying, you got beat by a team that you felt like shouldn't beat you. However, the interesting thing with fantasy football is that more times it's about the actual matchups. I mean, who your guys are playing that week and who your opponent is playing that week. So sometimes it's just a luck of the draw.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the past matchups here. Actually, it's the last place team in the league that I lost to. Team Necessary Roughness, captained by Oheni Weafe-Ebabio, sitting at 1-9. Their one win was against me.
Now, so how does that fact go against your excellent dominating theory?
That was the weekend where I dressed a receiver that didn't play that weekend.
Poor management. Poor team management.
It was poor management.
Okay.
I learned my lesson that weekend because I had gotten away with that one of the earlier weeks in the season because I was just killing people by 40 or 50 points and it didn't matter. I could dress a running back, a QB, and a kicker, and I was still winning. But now, after I actually lost a game to an inferior opponent at that point, that made me kind of snap in and say, you know what, let me make sure I try to get my roster straight every week. I got to start paying attention to this.
I actually did see you had a very good addition. Now, somebody in the league, I won't say who, for some reason dropped Anquan Boldin. Now, how you drop Boldin, even on a mediocre year, is beyond me. Somebody dropped him.
I was a little surprised to see Boldin out there. I was, and I'd been looking for a wide receiver. I needed some help at that position. I've got Welker and Ocho Cinco, but Welker really doesn't get you a lot of touchdowns. He's just going to have those 12 catches for 90 yards or whatever, but he's not getting in the end zone a lot. I needed a touchdown maker. Boldin just happened to be out there last week, and I noticed nobody else has scooped him up. Let me come right in and swoop in and grab him. It worked out okay for me. You know, hopefully it'll be a move that can push me toward the title in the playoff run, which actually, yeah, that's something I want to get into with you while we're on the line here, too, because there's 2 weeks left in the regular season. We've got our matchup this week, and then there's one more regular season week after that, and then the playoffs are going to come. What's the structure of fantasy football when playoff time comes? Because I've never been through this.
All right. Now, as far as the playoffs began, our league is structured where there is 12 regular season games. And then in week 13, our playoffs start. And it's a three-week playoff system with three rounds. Seven teams make the playoffs, and one team with the overall best record will receive a bye. And in addition to that, the trade deadline is also November 25th. So after that, no trades can be made, but free agent pickups and things such as that still can go on. But as you were saying, there's two more weeks left, and then everything is pretty much signed, sealed, and the season kind of starts over for those seven teams.
Now, did you ever give any thought to, with the overall 12 teams available as far as the regular season goes, are there any leagues that set it up where, you know, only the top 8 teams or the top 10 teams make it? Like, is there any kind of elimination thing, or does everybody pretty much get to be in postseason play?
Does everybody pretty much? I mean, usually it's like a top 6 or like a top 8, depending on if the league owner wants one buy or two buys or no buys. That's pretty much how it is, and it pretty much goes on like a pedigree as far as your overall wins and your winning percentage and things such as that. Now the unique thing about our league is that there's 12 teams and it's not separated into conferences or divisions. So everybody is fighting for the same thing in the same conference in the same division, because I felt like that would give everybody a more unique, more fair fit to reach the playoffs. Because if there were six good teams in one league and six poor teams in the other, then those less stellar teams would have an opportunity to make the playoffs, which they may not deserve. Now, speaking of the season, I actually fell victim to one of my number one rules of fantasy football, and that rule is be patient. We got off to a very rocky start, and I was grabbing players and leasing players, you know, and for example, Beanie Wells, who you talked about earlier, he was on my team, but after 4 weeks of 10 yards and six fumbles, you know, we needed to win then. We needed to win now, so he was a casualty. Crabtree.
Ah.
This guy doesn't sign until week eight. So for 8 weeks, he's giving me 0 points. And then he signs, and he's a monster. So, you know, so whenever possible, be patient. I just didn't have that luxury. I just didn't have that luxury this season, you know. So, and that's the other thing about fantasy. It's really kind of hit or miss. Really kind of hit or miss. Like Terrell Owens this year has had a disastrous year. Bears defense has taken a huge blow with Urlacher out for the season, and they're just full of holes. And their quarterback throwing 5 picks a game only gives them more opportunities to give up points. So, you know, it's been one of those topsy-turvy kind of seasons.
Okay, and we got less than a minute till the break here. What would be, if there was a big key that you would say heading into postseason play as far as how somebody, would you say that someone's better off trying to tweak their roster to fit a playoff run, or just go with what works and kind of stick with it if you've been doing good?
Great question, Big Ant. My advice is this. If you are winning, go with who is hot. Go with whoever has gotten you all those W's, all those points, all those victories. It's kind of like the NFL where if a team has that momentum carrying in, then you go with them. And if you need to win now, then you need to drop and add whoever you can to pick up that final playoff spot. Absolutely. So go with who's hot. Go with who's hot.
Okay. We certainly appreciate you dropping the fantasy football knowledge on us. As always, Breezy, the Bully, a.k.a.
Yes, sir. The Bully's in the building.
Of the Pride Glory Fantasy Football League. Going to try to get him back on again at least once, maybe twice, before the regular season of fantasy football ends, so we can really get into some specific previews for the postseason run that everybody's got coming up. That sound all right, Commiss?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, looking forward to it, man. Thanks for joining us again.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, that is Breezy the Bully, a.k.a. the Commiss, going to come back in this last segment with a few shameless plugs and get into a little Belichick and Weiss talk, especially for the in-laws here in this last segment. We'll be right back.
Get down, get down.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
There is so much complexity behind intimate connections. Wouldn't you like a better understanding into the how and why of how intimate connections are formed, how they deepen, and how they are broken? Tune in to the Intimacy Connection with Dr. Raymond Jones to learn more about the different facets of adult connections. It's an audio guidebook to why relationships form, flourish, or break apart as they do. The Intimacy Connection, live every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Line. Got it with 2.8 seconds
left.
To
left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Get down.
One of the rare times I can think of, and at least in this generation of football, I mean, really, and this is, say, the past, 10 to 15 years, let's say the past decade, where both these men, both these football coaches have really come onto more of a prominent national stage. Because when Bill Belichick was coaching the Browns back in the day, nobody knew who he was because they were terrible. But now, since he's been with the Pats and Charlie Weiss was his offensive coordinator, and now Weiss has been the head coach at Notre Dame for, 4 years now, 4 or 5 years? At this point, both men coming off a weekend where they're experiencing a little bit of hot water here to varying degrees. Of course, Belichick is not on the hot seat as a coach. He's not going anywhere until he wants to in New England. The Kraft family is going to do everything they can to keep him around. Charlie Weiss on the hot seat. But a decision that got made by Bill Belichick is getting a lot of national scrutiny, of course, from the Sunday night game where he went for the 4th-and-2. Just over 2 minutes on the clock, wanted to keep the ball out of Peyton Manning's hands, decided to go for it on 4th-and-2. And like I said earlier, my wife is a big Patriots fan. I'd gotten back off the road by that point, so I made it home in time to catch the end of the game with her. And then the other guy, Charlie Weiss, Notre Dame, sitting right now, overall record, 6-4, just lost to Pitt. And really, when you look at it, he's got no significant victories in the time he's been at Notre Dame. And now his overall record has moved to 35-25, which I'm sure many of you, especially the Notre Dame fans, have heard by now, have heard that that's the same exact record that Bob Davey had when he got fired. His 50.583, about a 58% winning percentage, roughly the same as what Tyrone Willingham had when he lost his job after only 3 years. So now here sits Charlie Weiss, really 53rd in the nation on offense, on converting third downs, and 55th on defense. I mean, it's not the type of numbers, it's not the type of success that people want to see from Notre Dame. It's almost like Christmas in a way, because, I love to rib my in-laws just a little bit, and they try to get me to help them root for these certain teams. I mean, as far as the NFL teams, it's too tough for me. I got used to, over the years playing in the league, just used to looking at the other teams around the league as the opponents. And so, I'm trying to work back into maybe rooting for the Bears again if I can, but I'm really not even close to that point yet. But as far as the Patriots go, as far as Notre Dame goes, at least with the Patriots, you can't help but respect what they do as an organization year in and year out. But to have both Charlie Weiss and Bill Belichick catching flack at the same time, I got to admit, it's enjoyable. It's something that that I'm amused by. With the Belichick situation, most of the momentum is pretty much railing against the decision he made, which, you know, like I've told you guys, I'm a coach in the Arena Football League. There's no punting in arena football, but just let me talk from a coach's perspective for a second as far as what he was trying to do. One, I wouldn't have done it. The thing that I respect about it is that it took some marbles, it took some onions to make the call that he made, that we're sitting there on our 29-yard line. I'm going to go for this fourth and two, fourth and extended one. You know, he wanted to call it a fourth and one. I'm going to go for this and keep the ball away from Peyton Manning. He wasn't really thinking about defense. He's a defensive coach, defensive-minded guy. He doesn't make a decision like that thinking about the possibility of his defense stopping Indianapolis. He's already predetermined making a call like that, that he has no plans on stopping Indy on defense. He took that one moment, he took that one play and said, we will win or lose the game right here in this moment. So just think about it for a second. If you've got a win or lose situation, you've got one play to get that done with, who do you want to get it done with? I mean, you know, we've heard him run down the laundry list of players that are no longer with the New England Patriots that were with them when they were winning Super Bowls. You know, one of them went off on Belichick on ESPN. Teddy Bruschi did it. Rodney Harrison did it on the air on NBC directly after the game. Richard Seymour is now in Oakland. The list does go, you know, Willie McGinnis. The list goes on of the championship-level players that were there that are no longer there. Now, I do agree with Bruschi that if you're a guy on that defense, you want that opportunity. You want him to kick it deep so you have a chance to play defense and win the game. You got a lead. You got a six-point lead, 2 minutes to go. I want to go out there with a chance to stop Peyton Manning. But Bill Belichick isn't a player. He's a coach. So he's got to make that decision and say, you know what? He's had two drives of 79 yards that they've scored in 2 minutes or less just here in the fourth quarter. Who cares that they picked him off earlier in the game? Peyton Manning is hot right now. And he's got to make that decision based off of what can I do to try to get a victory for my team in this moment. He said, I'm taking this one play. I'm putting the ball in Tom Brady's hands. I'm spreading everybody out, all these weapons, Welker, Moss, Falk. I'm putting these people out on islands and letting you all go one-on-one. Tommy boy, pick them apart. Make the quick read, get the ball out, get us a first down. Because if we get this first down, I'm confident we're winning the game. That takes some stones. And he showed the stones. He had the marbles to make that call. He's made some other calls, you know, maybe not with that magnitude, you know, that backed up to the end zone, fourth down against the Colts and whatnot. But he's gone for other fourth downs, and he's, you know, snapped the ball over the punter's head to take a safety and get the ball back to the opponent. He's done some, you know, some outside-the-box things before. This is the first one that's really backfired on him. Now, the pedigree that he had coming into that point with all the Super Bowl rings and with the previous decisions that have gone well, he probably looks at it and says, you know what, I've got a certain amount of credit built up where I can make a call like this that other coaches probably couldn't get away with. And he's right. But for a few days, he's taking it a little bit right here. But he's got broad enough shoulders. But that's the thinking in a situation like that. He's not worried about the defense. I think people are focusing too much on that you're leaving your defense on a short field. He could care less about leaving his defense on a short field. He wanted to win the game with his offense in that moment. He just didn't get it done. Weiss, I've already talked about him in a little bit more detail in recent weeks. I never wish for anybody to lose their job, let me say that. Well, I shouldn't say never, but I don't wish for Charlie Weiss to lose his job. But comparatively to the other coaches that have been there since Lou Holtz, and for any of you that have been at the Notre Dame games, everyone is still worshiping Lou Holtz at that stadium, doing the Lou chant and holding their Lou signs and whatnot. And, you know, Lou plays right into it with his work that he does on ESPN, where he supports the Irish, thick and thin, and that's fine. But if you look at Charlie's track record, if he was at another school, would he deserve to get fired? I would say probably not. And with the Notre Dame fans that I've talked to, I think their perspective needs to shift just a bit and realize that maybe this program is not at the elite level and will never return to the elite level that it once was. So does your paradigm need to shift, Irish fans? Do you maybe need to realize that Notre Dame can be a good team, maybe have the excellent season every once in a while, but will never again be the consistent national power that they once were. That's a tough thing to be, and it's a tough thing to accept as a fan base. You don't accept it, good chance you're going to end up in the situation you are right now, where the coaching carousel continues, where every handful of years you got a new guy coming in, trying to rewrite the story of the Irish. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult position to be in. We'll see what happens with Charlie, but that might have been the last page of his story there over this past weekend against Pitt. But appreciate everybody listening in and tuning in. Some of the emails that I got, I will respond to them after we get off the air. Didn't do the poll question today. Wanted to make sure I caught up on a few things that I didn't get in last week. Like I said, this will be the last opportunity to do a couple of things with the Big Ten Network, but game plan will be continuing in full force, and we'll bring it back to you next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This is the Game Plan with Anthony Heron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Keep doing your thing, America. Let's do it better.
That's all we have time for this week. Join Anthony Big Ant Heron again next week for another edition of The Game Plan. Tune in Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.